Here we have Isaiah the prophet now. As we continue our study, in chapter 48, it's concluding God's controversy that he has against idols, the worship of idols. Secondly, I see here that the prophet also not only is against the idols that are being worshipped, but how God will deliver them from Babylon and bring them back to the nation. When Israel was in Babylon for 70 years, only 45,000 returned back to Jerusalem, to Israel. The rest had stayed because they were comfortable. They had houses. They were making money. And this is where the Jew learned to be a great businessman up to the present time. Remember, they were farmers. And when they went to Babylon, they learned how to make money. And Daniel was born in Israel. When he went there and his three friends, they were called by God, and God not only raised up Daniel and his friends, but Daniel became one of the greatest prophets. Where God said 70 years, and all of a sudden 48 and then 68 years go by, Daniel chapter 9, and God comes to him by sending the angel and says, Daniel, hey, it's almost time for God to deliver his people. Imagine to deliver his people. And God today, I wonder what he's saying. I wonder what he's saying about the church and about this world. Because surely we know we're living in the last days. These are days of evil. These are days where people are in bondage. People are sinning. No fear. Pastors, elders, deacons, leaders. Just about every person in the world somehow is getting to the place where they don't care what they sin. With technology is great. But technology can trap your 8-year-old, your 9-year-old, 10-year-old, teenager, young adult to pornography, to evil sites that can destroy their minds and their hearts. So I don't put down technology is great. I use computers. I use iPads. I use iPhones. But those kids have been on those iPhones and they watch pornography. They know how to use them really, really well. We need to educate our children. It is very dangerous to take, you know, a computer or take a phone and go to those sites and infect your mind and your heart and then become possessed by it. Think of what's going to happen in the future with the next and next generations of the Lord tarries. Israel the same way. God had given them a way out. They got comfortable and they began to worship other gods, idols. Idols that had no hearing, no seeing, no touching, no walking, no heart, but they were of stone and they were of wood and iron, and nothing could ever be done about that. They love idols more than God. Look how he begins in chapter 48, verse 1. Notice what God says, hear this, O Jacob. Now, Jacob means supplanter, schemer, conniver. That was his name. And what I find interesting here is that God says here, hear this, which means what? He's addressing those that were in Babylon. They had been kicked out of Israel, and they had been taken captive by Babylon, making three sieges to go to Babylon because Assyria already had been not only entrapped, but judged by God as the Assyrians came and delivered the judgment against the northern kingdom of Israel. And then 150 years later, Judah. God uses Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, to come and take them to Babylon, to spend 70 years in Babylon under the authority of the Babylonians, being oppressed. And yet God raising up one man by the name of Daniel to interpret dreams, visions, and to be not only a man that looked to God and God looked to him as not only a deliverer, but as a man of God that would stand in righteousness and by faith believing that God would deliver them. Believing in God's word. He goes on to say, who are called by the name of Israel. And Israel means governed by God. Remember Jacob? When Jacob met the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord was standing there, and Jacob, it says, they started wrestling. And when they were wrestling, the angel of the Lord said, hey, Jacob, you got to let me go because I got to go. And it literally, in the Hebrew, he wasn't wrestling with him. He had a hold of his thigh. He would not let him go. And then Jacob said this, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Unless you bless me. And the Lord said, okay, I'll bless you. And the first thing he did, he took his right hand and touched the hollow of his right thigh. And he became crippled. He couldn't walk. Only with a crippled leg. Jacob was broken. Did you know that Jacob means heel catcher, conniver? Israel means governed by God. If you look up in a strong concordance, the word Jacob is used more than Israel. And that's like us. We're Christians, but we spend more time Jacob in the world, in the flesh, lying, cheating. We should be governed by God. You come to Christ, we should be governed by God. We should be able to submit ourselves to Him. We should be able to say, okay, God, what do you want to do in my life? Because we wrestle with God. I wrestle with God, you know how? On my knees and my face to the ground. Every one of us should do that. For God to keep us on track. So that we can be in the place where God can use my life. God can speak to me. And I can obey His word. And we can accomplish things not for us, but for Him. As I become an instrument of His righteousness. And then he says, and I've come forth from the wellspring of Judah, the southern kingdom, who swear by the name of the Lord, Yahweh, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth or in righteousness. Underline that. Look what he says here. He's pointing out their true origin of Judah here. Like people today in the church, but not in truth nor in righteousness. They said, God, I love you, I worship you. And God says, really? Is that why you have idols? Is that why you disobey me? Is that why you go in your own way and you do your own thing and you're not in submission to me and to my word? We need to be in submission. It's God's perfect time. The condition of Judah was a time because they did not submit to God that the judgment of God was going to come and they were going to be humbled by God. And the reason? God loved them. We're called on chastening in Hebrews chapter 12. Read it. Whoever knows the Lord and sins, God chasten it because we're sons and daughters of God. A Christian cannot get away with sin. So you might as well give up. You might as well submit to Jesus Christ so that He can use your life. He can use my life. Then he says, verse 2, for they call themselves after a holy city and lean on God of Israel, the Lord of hosts of His name. So here the exiles, they were claiming citizenship as residents in the holy city of Jerusalem, but their heart was not there. Their heart was in the world. Their heart was in Babylon. And yet they call themselves lovers of God, and they were not lovers of God, lovers of idols, other gods. I wonder what God thinks of the church today when He looks at the church. I thank God for you guys coming every Wednesday, every Sunday, Sunday night. If you come on Sunday nights, because you're growing, you're developing, you're being taught, you're committing your life to Him. And you're asking God to speak to you, and God speaks to you. But think of all the people that come here on Sunday morning that have other things that are more important than to study the Word of God. He's speaking now about part of the Word of God here being fulfilled, prophecy. I have declared the former things from the beginning, prophecy. God fulfills His Word. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. So He spoke His word, and with our ears we need to hear. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit saying to the church. Suddenly, I did them, and they came to pass. But I knew that you were obstinate, and your neck was as iron sinew, and your brow like bronze. Notice what he says here. God is reminding them of his word, the power of the word of God. Notice he says here, because I knew that you were obstinate. God's reason for declaring here is the advance what they were willing not to do. They were rebellious. They were rebellion to God. And I think, and I wonder how many people you know and I know, that you talk with them and they talk to you like they're really right on for the Lord, and yet they're in rebellion against God. You say, well, how do you know that they're not obeying God's word? They're going against God's word. They do their own thing. There's no fear. There's no conviction until God stops them. And then they run to God, oh God, forgive me. Like Israel in the book of Judges. God will raise up a judge and they would repent. The moment the judge would die, they go right back into sin. Right back into sin. So he raised up another judge. He would die. They go right back into sin. And finally, God says, hey, what are you doing? So God began to chasten the people of God. And when you get to the book, well, in Judges chapter 2:10, it says that when Joshua in that generation died, there arose another generation, their kids, that did not know the Lord, but they worship other gods. Here it is. Worship other gods. And I wonder how many people in this church worship other gods. Other gods instead of the real God, Jehovah God, Jesus our Lord and Savior. He goes on in verse 5, he says, even from the beginning I have declared to you, I've told you, before it came to pass, I proclaim it to you. He says, lest you should say, my idol has done them, and my carved image and my molten image have commanded them. So notice here, Israel had embraced idolatry. And idolatry is condemned by God. Condemned by God. You, Israel, have heard who? The prophets, the words of the prophets, and see all this, and will you not declare it? I have made you hear new things from this time. Even hidden things, and you did not know them. So here, God is revealing new things to them. He has showed them to them. And then he says, they are created now, and not from the beginning, and before this day, you have not heard them, lest you should say, of course I knew them. We need to be careful of that. We need to be careful that as we read the word of God and we read God's word and God speaks to our hearts, and then we sin against God and you say, I didn't know that. You knew it. But you willfully rebelled against God. They would not confess that. Surely they did know. Surely they did hear what God was saying. Again, verse 8. Surely you did not hear. Surely you did not know. Surely for a long ago your ear was not open. For I knew that you would deal very treacherously and were called a transgressor from the womb. Notice that. They turned backwards, notice, to idols and all these images instead of forward to God. They went backwards. They ignored God. They ignore God, just like people today ignore God. For my name's sake, I will defer my anger. And for my praise, I will restrain it from you, so that I do not cut you off. Notice God's love for them. You're sinning, but my real heart for you is I love you. Then why don't you love me the way I love you? Think about it for a moment. Here they're spitting on God's face and God says, I love you. Why don't you love me? If you really love me, why don't you live for me? I think that's an important message today. He says, verse 10, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake and my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned or polluted? And I will not give my glory to another person. Isn't that amazing what he says here? God wanted to purge them from their sin. And you should mark here, and I will not give my glory to another one. How many times people take the glory? Pastors, leaders, evangelists. Where everybody has their eyes on him. And everybody talks about him. And he believes his lie that he's great. The only reason he's there is because God lifted him up and God will knock him down too. It's sad that people that at one time were just simple people, today they have bodyguards and they take money and they think they're great because they're writing articles about them in magazines or their documentaries, whatever it may be, and it goes to their heads, and one day they're going to have to give an answer to God. Think what Jesus did. He was King of Kings, and did he have a beautiful house? He had nowhere to lay his head. The disciples. Jesus became the great example. Paul the Apostle, Peter, James, Thomas, all these guys, and he left us an example that we should never fall in love with the world, but we should fall in love with him. And never, ever take the glory. Look what I'm doing. Look what I've built. It's all the Lord's. Did you know that the house you have is the Lord's? Who gave you the money? Your paycheck. It's the Lord's. Who gave it to you? He gave it to your boss to pay you. Everything that we have is the Lord's. Everything. Your children are the Lord's. You are the Lord's. I am the temple of the living God. And if any man defile the temple of God, drugs, alcohol, whatever it is, sex, syphilis, gonorrhea, AIDS, you reap what you sow. And yet if we are the temple of the living God, the temple of the living God is holy. Holy. The priest could only go into the holiest of holies once a year with a rope tied to his ankle. And as he would go in, if there was any sin in his life, God would kill him. And nobody could go in. They would pull him with a rope out. In the New Testament, he says, you now are the holiest of holies. And what do you mean? Because he lives in your heart. Your heart is now the holiest of holies, and the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, know your hearts. If God is in my heart, if I am the temple of the living God, then why do I defile the temple of God? Don't take the glory. Give him all the glory. He's the one that called you. He's the one that anointed you. He's the one that provides for you. It's not how smart you are or how much money you have. As the Lord gives you, he can take it away just like that. Just like that. Saul was one that took the glory. Remember what happened to him? Saul. And there's others in the scriptures that took the glory. He says again, listen to me, O Jacob, conniver, schemer, and Israel governed by God. My call, I am he. I am the first. I am the last. Revelations again. I am the first. I am the last. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. He's everything. 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 God is everything. Speaking to them. Verse 13. Indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth. Notice God is the creator. Reference here to firmly establish his creation. Notice how big God is. And my right hand has stretched out the heavens. Imagine his right hand, he stretched out the heavens. How big are the heavens? He says, when I call to them, the heavens, they stand up together. All of you assemble yourselves, and hurl, who among them has declared these things. The Lord loves him. He shall do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be against the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. God will judge Babylon for their deities and their idolatry. And God used who? God used Cyrus, the king, to come in when actually King Nebuchadnezzar's grandson was ruling. And God opened the door, they came in, and they took over the city of Babylon, and Babylon went down the tubes. Every nation at one time has ruled and has gone down. Look at America today. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Greece, how about Romans? And now we have America, Russia, Persia, Iran, Korea, all these people that want to rule. And today they want to rule by having nuclear weapons. And who's in control? God's in control. Remember that. verse 15. He says, I have spoken. Yes, I have called him Cyrus. You can put that down, him as Cyrus. I have brought him Cyrus, and his way will prosper, which means Cyrus is going to be my instrument. He wasn't even a Christian. He wasn't a believer. And God says, from the womb, I've had Cyrus, and Cyrus is going to be my instrument of chastisement. I'm going to use him to wipe out Babylon. God used evil for good. God raises up whoever he wants, and then he uses that person as an instrument of judgment and chastening the people of God. Verse 16. Notice God's call. Come near to me, hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. I told you. You have my word. From the time that it was. And I was there. And now the Lord God and his Holy Spirit, have sent me. I mean, here is the heavens declaring the glory of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You go back to Genesis chapter 1. And right after verse 1, it says what? And the Spirit of God moved. Moved. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from the beginning. God the Father and his Holy Spirit and his Son, Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, verse 17, thus saith the Lord. He says, you better pay attention. Your Redeemer. Isn't that cool? The Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way. Notice God leading and teaching us, God prospering us as we come to him. Oh, that you had listened to my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. He says, if you would listen to me and obey me, you'll have peace and you'll be righteous. But the problem, people don't listen, then you don't know his commandments. His commandments will what? Condemn you. Will judge you. We need to listen. We need to have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. When he says about peace here, then your peace would have been like a river. He's speaking here that lives would flow calmly. You would have a calm spirit. Peace. And then when he uses the word righteousness here, is the fruit of purity of life. A life of purity. That's what it says there. You would have a life that is pure to God. Verse 19, your descendants also would have been like the sand, that is their posterity. And the offerings of your body like the grains of sand. His name would not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Notice here that they depended on their faithfulness, and God wanted them to depend on the faithfulness of the Word of God. On the Word of God. How? By obeying it. God wants us to obey his word. He goes, go forth from Babylon. Flee from the Chaldeans or the Babylonians. With a voice of singing, declare, proclaim this, utter it to the end of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. He's talking here about being released from Babylon. 45,000 go back to Israel and the rest stay in Babylon. God releasing his people. The power of God. Man, we need to pray that God will release us. That God will spare us. That God will continue to watch over us and surround us with his love and his grace and his mercy from the times that are here and the times that are coming. To keep us away from our enemy, or to keep what? The enemy away from us. Fully, completely. He says, 21, and they did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He caused them waters to flow from the rock for them. He also split the rock and the waters gushed out. What is he doing? He's taking them back to Egypt. When they came out of Egypt, who was with them? God was with them. Who fed them? God fed them. Who gave them water? God gave them water. And yet, they forgot about it. They wanted to go back and they rebelled against God. They rebel against God. And then he says, verse 22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, to who? The wicked. Mark that. Memorize that. They went on their own way instead of coming God's way. Instead of going God's way, they took their own way. And God says, you'll never have peace because it's the way of the wicked. You go into wickedness. And what I see here also is the contrast here from the blessing and the deliverance and the peace and the protection that the righteous have before God. Those that are righteous. Chapter 49. He says, listen, O coastlands, to me. He's talking about the islands in the Mediterranean Sea. He says, to me, and take heed or listen, and listen carefully, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called, speaking about the Gentiles also, the Lord has called me Jesus from the womb. Notice, from the matrix of my mother, he has made me mention my name. Remember the virgin birth? God brought him through Mary, human, God. And says, he has made me my mouth like a sharp sword. Like a sharp sword. As God speaks his word. As God will judge. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me. And made me a polished shaft or arrow. His quiver has hidden me. And he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel. And now he speaks to Israel because Israel needed a Savior. Who's their Savior? The Mashiach, Jesus Christ. In whom I will be glorified. Notice that. Israel, you're going to glorify me. One day Israel will say, who pierced your hands? Who pierced your feet? Who pierced your side? He will say, this was done in the house of my, what? Of my friends. You did it to me. You did it to me. Pretty heavy what God is saying here. I mean, God is saying, you guys are the ones that did it to me. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him, for I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Isn't that cool? God, Messiah, including what? All of the nations of the world. 700 years later, after Isaiah, he would be born. He would be born, Jesus. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved the ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles. Notice that. As a light to the Gentiles. He's talking about Israel. Israel will become a light to the Gentiles, and Israel sinned. So what happened? Instead of going out to the world and becoming God's witness, they gave into the world and they became not God's witnesses. Just like the church today. We've become part of the world. And then he goes on to say, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him who men despises. To men despises who? Jesus, God. To him whom the nation hates. To the servant of rulers. Kings shall in arise, princes, leaders also shall worship because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. He chose you, he chose me, he chose Israel. Man, what a privilege it is to be chosen by God. He continues to speak to his servant. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Who's that? Israel. He's saying, I helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people and to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritage. Speaking of God, how he's going to bless Israel in the kingdom age. They're going to be blessed. That you may say to the prisoners, go forth. Notice, as deliverer of the captive. To those who are in darkness, show yourself. They shall feed along the roads, and their pastures shall be all desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them, for he who has mercy on them will lead them. Think about each one of us individually. How God not only leads us, how God keeps us from the heat of the sun, especially. Remember how he takes care of us. He watches over us. He gives us his mercy. He gives us His grace. He gives us His love. And then He says, and even by the springs of water, He will guide them. Read Psalm 23. David. When David was down in a bummer, man, the Lord came to him and David wrote Psalm 23, which is always read at a funeral. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me, He guides me. All these things that David says, who God really is. Verse 11, I will make each my mountain a road, and my highway shall be elevated. Surely these shall come from afar. Look, those are from the north and the west, and these from the land of sinning. And then he says, sing, O heavens, be joyful. Now the message to Israel, O earth. And break out in singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted His people and will have mercy on His afflicted. Isn't that cool? A God that loves Israel, a God that loves the church. A God that loves the world, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Satan will come along and tell you God hates you, especially when you sin. When you trip and you fall, don't stay down. Get up. Shake yourself off and go forward as you repent. God will never reject you. He's always there for each one of us individually. And all because of the love that He has for us, even though we don't love Him as we should love Him. If we truly love the Lord, if you really truly love your wife, you're not going to go out on your wife. You're going to take care of your wife. And we are the bride of Christ, and He's our bridegroom. He takes care of us. He loves us. For today, many husbands don't love their wives. Wives don't love their husbands. They go out on their wives, commit adultery. They abuse them verbal, physically. And when you come to Christ, look what God has given you, a gift from God. Where a lot of people within the church are miserable because they don't have their marriage together. They won't admit it. And they think they can do it on their own when they need to be broken and they need to be humbled by God. As you and your wife get on your face and you pray, and you ask God to touch your marriage and to touch your children so that He can protect and watch over, and God can use your children. He says, but Zion says, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Really? Has He? No. The only time God forsook them is when they turned their back on God and God forsook them so they would be chastened by the enemy. And then God says, have you learned your lesson? Have you learned your lesson? I wonder if the church today, when I speak of the church, I speak of the global church. I wonder if the church has learned their lesson today. To learn the lesson that maybe God has turned His back on the church today. Until the church repents, that He can bring revival. And you know what? Revival is not 1 million people, 2 million people, 5 million people. Revival starts with one person, you and me, personally. If you get revived, think of the people you're touching. Because you're not like them. They'll see the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. They'll see your obedience to God. You don't even have to tell them. They'll see your joy. They'll see the joy of you not only sharing your testimony, sharing your life, giving to the Lord, doing all these things that God has put in your heart because you love Him. You love Him with all your heart and you know that He loves you. And then he says, verse 15, can a woman forget her nourishing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Underline that. I will never forget you. Even a mother may forget her son or daughter or her father. I will never forget you. I will love you and I will remember you the rest of my life. Verse 16, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hands. Can you believe that? I have inscribed you in the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. God says, I will never, ever forsake you. The walls, I will never forsake you. You're the one that forsakes me. I will never forsake you. Remember the church of Ephesus? The message that he had to the church of Ephesus? He says, your problem is this. You got all the works. You got all the things in the church you have, but personally, you have left your first love. Repent, return, and then I will heal you, and I will be with you. But if you don't repent and return, then I will go somewhere else and work. Man, the love of Jesus Christ, verse 17. Your son shall make haste, your destroyer, speaking of Assyria and Babylon, and those who laid your waste. And remember, they destroyed them. The walls were taken down and the people were taken to captivity. Shall go away from you. Lift up your eyes, look around us and see. All these gather together and come to you. As I live, saith the Lord, you shall surely clothe yourself with them all and ornament and bind them on you as a bride does also here. So he's talking about Zion here. Zion, her eyes, and looking around about her children. As you look around, God has said, I look around and who do I see? All my children. He says, an ornament and bind them on you as a bride goes. Verse 19. For your waste and desolate places, and the land of your destruction will even not be too small for the inhabitants, and those who swallow you up will be far away. The children you'll have after you have lost the others, he says, will say again to your ears, the place is too small for me. Give me a place where I may dwell. Israel coming back to where? To Israel. Coming back, the Jews. Remember how many Jews Hitler killed? 6 million Jews. He says, I lost a lot of your sons and daughters, but I'll give you more when you return back to the land. I'm going to bless you. Then you will say in your heart, who has begotten these for me? Since I have lost my children and I am desolate, a captive, a wandering to and fro. And who has brought these up? There I was left alone, but these were they. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift my hands in an oath to the nations or the Gentiles, and set up my standards for the peoples. They shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. When God brings together the Jew and the Gentile, kings shall be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. They shall bow down to you in their faces to the earth and lick up the dust of your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed who wait for me. The importance of waiting upon God. Don't open the door. Let him open the door that he already shut. Wait. Don't push your way through the door. Again, God speaking of Israel, one day God is going to lift them up and people are going to say, man, this is the house of the Lord, and God is going to bless Israel. Verse 24, shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Notice that this is not the kingdom age. Or the captives of the righteous be delivered. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible be delivered. For I will contend with him, notice, who contends with you, and I will save your children. Notice this. God here makes a promise to those that fight against Israel that God will fight for them. Think about all the wars that Israel has gone through since 1948 in the land of Israel. And God has done what? God has delivered them. God has gone against those nations that came against them. And all these surrounding nations that are even at the present time are surrounding Israel. And God says to them, do not worry, I'm going to use this as to chasing you, but I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will help you so you can get your eyes on me. Give me the glory. But they don't. So God will chase them more. And yet I love Israel with all my heart. They're God's people. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to pray for the Jews. Our government needs to stand behind Israel. I will bless those that bless Israel, but I will curse those that curse Israel. Imagine that. Verse 26. And I will feed those who oppress you with their own flesh. Judgment. And they shall be drunk with their own blood as with sweet wine. All flesh shall know that I, the Lord, I am your Savior. I am your Savior. People can say, wow, man, this is the God of the Jews. But also, he's the God of who? The Gentiles. And your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Notice the faithfulness of God to his people, to protect them, to watch over them, and to deliver them. That's us in Israel today. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, keep us simple, keep us humble, Lord. Lord, continue to feed us to your word. Lord, continue as we have the remaining chapters in the book of Isaiah, Father, to learn who you are, Father, as we begin to see you in the scriptures, Lord. Here in the Old Testament, 700 years before you were even born, and even to the point in chapter 53, Lord God, when you were crucified and you were despised. And Lord, Psalm 22, where it demonstrates the pain that you went through on the cross. Lord, I pray for your people that are here. Lord, I pray for those that are not here. Father, I pray for the church around the world. Father, we want to give you all the glory, all the honor, because you're the King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus. Lord, break us, Lord. Humble us, Jesus. Lord, feed us by your word, Jesus. Lord, you know how much I love these people, Lord. And Lord, I pray for each one of them, their children, their children's children, Lord. Father, continue to bless this church. Father, continue to bring your people by your Holy Spirit. And just with every eye closed, always like to do this. If God has spoken to you, you're not a Christian. You have a lot of religion. Well, that will never get you into the kingdom of God. That will condemn you. And that will send you to hell. But you need relationship. And that relationship only comes through repentance. And when repentance comes, then there comes forgiveness, cleansing of your sins by the precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And then he writes your name in the book of life, and he uses your life. Why? Because he loves you and he cares for you. Anybody here wants to receive Christ? I'm going to ask you right now to stand. Right now, stand and come up here to the front. Right now, as God speaks to your heart. Okay? We're going to worship. You get up and you come as we worship. You're sitting there and you don't know if you come or not. And Satan's saying, no, don't go up there. You don't need to go up there. He's lying to you. Well, the Bible says he's a liar. The liar of all liars. And on the other side, the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, you need to go up. You need to repent. You need to receive salvation. You need your name to be written in the book of life. Anyone else before I pray? Mother, father, son, daughter, whoever you may be. Father, we are so thankful because of your love and grace and mercies. And Lord, we thank you so much for this person that has come. I want you to pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me. And those watching through the internet, if you want to accept the Lord, same thing. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I thank you for forgiving me and accepting me to be your child. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit and with your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Awesome. We're going to give you a Bible. Go right over there, okay? Awesome. That's so cool.